Okay, so this is Dr. Patton giving you a review in the final exam of MI 316 for in the month of May. And we're going to be talking about certain aspects of the review. One of the things that I think is important to recognize is when you're facing the challenges of the enemies of our world, that you need to remember the that we are fighting against, we're not fighting against flesh and blood, but we are fighting against the evil spirits and so forth. But we are also, we also have the enemies, number one, our old fleshly nature, number two, the cosmos, the world system, and number three, we have the enemy of Satan himself. Now, God has given us the Holy Spirit to go against that. He has given us a new nature in Christ, and both of these can help us to resist the temptations of the devil. It's also important, I think, to recognize that ultimately the source of all evil came actually from outside. The outside, the source of all evil, did not come from the earth itself, but as a supernatural source coming from the outside. That's Satan, who influenced not only putting his nature in us, our old fleshly nature, but also dominates the world system. And then he's got all these nasty guys known as demons under his power as well. Okay? So when we are to win in this spiritual warfare, we realize that we're going to have to understand this, and we're going to have to resist the devil, and he will flee from us. That means then that we can't yield to our old nature, we can't conform to the world system, and because the devil is stronger than us, we need the power of the Holy Spirit to resist him. Now, should we fear Satan? Well, we should respect Satan, and we should not take him lightly, and we should not try to resist him in our own strength. However, ultimately, the person we should fear is God himself, not Satan. And that ultimately we are in a position of being victorious. And we need to remember that although we have not seen the full nature of this played out, Satan was defeated at the cross. And ultimately, his doom is sure, as Martin Luther has in his famous saying, a mighty fortress. However, it's taking time. It's like a cancer grows in your body that you can't cure. You know, it continues to grow, and you know eventually it's going to kill you. But it doesn't kill you today. Well, Satan is also a defeated foe, but he's still got some fairly sharp teeth and can do a whole lot of damage. But ultimately, Christ is going to win. So, do we submit to him? No. Do we curse him? Not particularly smart to do that. I mean, even Michael the archangel didn't do that. He just said, "The Lord rebuke you." Should we attack him, especially in our own strength? That's stupid. Should we resist him? Yes, we should. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. We also talked about a bit about worldviews, and we need to recognize that the worldviews have changed. If you go back to the time before the Enlightenment, the worldview basically was there's God the Creator and everything that he created. Okay. Now, that's not necessarily true if you go back to the Greek before, but in the time, let's say, after Christ, that was a basic philosophy. With the Enlightenment, what happened is that people started to split out what you can see with what you can't see. What you can see, that you can measure and so forth, that's the real world, that's science, and that's to be believed, or what you can rationally think. But so then what happens is the split is now between God, who may or may not be there, who may be a just a an imagination or a projection of people in the eyes of some, and demons and angels, well, we don't know because we can't see them, but we know the material universe, and that's the Enlightenment. Now, postmodernism has gone back a little bit more to the other direction. We also recognize that the spiritual world is wide open, and that one of the things that I think is that the devil has been very successful in doing is convincing people, you don't have to be afraid of me because you're a Christian. If the devil can convince you of that, he's got a great advantage over you, because then but the Bible says, resist the devil. The Bible says, put on the armor of God. All of these things show you that he does still have influence. But do I believe that a devil can possess a Christian? No, but the word that is used is demonized. And so what I would say, the way I would look at it, is the amount of influence that the devil has and demons have on individuals vary tremendously. From one who is totally unsaved and can be totally dominated by evil spirits and has yielded himself to that, over to the individual who is in a spiritual condition who can really resist. But that does not, even that does not mean that you cannot have some sense of oppression, but you can have victory. You remember, you may remember that you saw a picture, we had a film, a fellow by the name of J.O. Frazier, some of you saw that, with called Breakthrough, where he saw the Lisu tribe come into victory. But it was a huge demonic time. He was saved, he was trying to walk in spiritual victory, but had a lot of demonic oppression till finally he learned to walk in victory, fully trusting in Christ. So the idea of animism, is it widespread? Yes. Is animism confined to just the animistic world? No. Is it possible to believe in a creator God and also believe in spirits like in animism? Quite common. They will often have a person who believes in, for instance, in Suriname, they believed in Grangado, the great God, but they believed in the spirits. Some of them believed in Grown Mama. What's Grown Mama? Grown Mama is Gaia, Mother Earth. I had a guy pound down on that. So yes, you can have a creator God in addition to spirits, and also you can have animistic folk religion in every major religion. If we take at least the top four, that would be Christianity. Yes, you have animism, like in Chiapas, like in Santera. Hinduism, whole thing is that. Buddhism, yes. And Islam, also yes. And probably 70-80% of the Islamic peoples have some animism in it. I think, our friend Brother Knickerbocker talked about that, going to a marabout. We call him Bonamon. They call them shaman, but it's the same thing, regardless. It just happens to be that's the name they have for the Islamic guy in that area. Now, as we recall, God is a creator. God created everything. He created things visible and invisible. Which means then that the angels and demons would be also created by him. There's a difference between the God of the Bible, the God of Islam, and the deistic God. The God of Islam and the deistic God have a fairly common thread between the two of them. The God is way up there. Now the deist God he's like the clockmaker. He got the clock running, and then he's taking a siesta now for the last few thousand years or million years or whatever. The Muslim God is looking down all the time, but he is transcendent, and our relationship between him is master and servant, whereas the God of the Bible is immanent, he is inactive in his creation as well. We often call that a thing called providence. Now, one of the other things that we find in some of the cultural religions is, for instance, Zoroastrianism. Question is, does God have power? Sure, he has power. How much power does he have? Well, the polytheists believe that each god has a certain amount of power. Varies. Like Zeus is a little more powerful than, or Jupiter is a little more powerful than some of the other gods. He's the head of the gods. But everybody has a little bit of power. They splay it up. If you happen to like Zoroastrianism, then you have two gods, the good god and the bad god. And I'm not quite sure who is Ormuz and who is Ahriman. I think Ahriman is bad and Ormuz is good, but I'm not 100% sure of that. And they're pretty much equal, but we believe that the good will win out in the end. But that may be undue optimism. For the Christian, of course, and also for the Jew and Islam, God is all-powerful, and no one can resist him. Now, what about Satan and his opposition to us? I believe that Satan's greatest weapon is probably religion, philosophy and religion. I think he kills far more people. It's like Saul killed his 1,000 and David killed his 10,000. Demonic Satanism kills his 1,000s. But false religion promulgated by Satan kills his 10,000. Among other things, we get to the point, for example, we had a person comes in with a problem, and the pastor thinks, well, this is a psychological problem, but he doesn't consider demonism, or he sends him off to the secular psychiatrist. We know that problems, spiritual problems, can they be demonic? Yes. Are they all demonic? No. Can you have psychological, spiritual problems? Yes. So it is possible to have all of those. What we want to do, however, is to work in the spirit and not in the flesh. What about these demons and what about these angels? Well, demons are angels too. Are they stronger than men? Angels are all stronger than men. Are they smarter than men? Yeah, in a sense, although good angels are smarter than men, but demons are dumb smarter than men. They chose the wrong person to follow. So did a lot of men, but some of them didn't. When Jesus said that angels, that we will be like the angels in heaven, what does that mean? Do angels reproduce? No. Can angels repent? And is the, since the propitiation, he's propitiated for all the world, does that include Satan and evil spirits? No. And good angels don't need repentance, okay? Angels faster than men, they certainly are, and can transform them, transform in great speed. Okay. Now, when we were when you think about Jesus involved in the holy in the war against Satan, okay, or looking at temptation in Matthew chapter 4. He resisted Satan. How did he do it? He did it through the power of the Holy Spirit and through the Word of God. Okay, we have both those respects. Do we have the Holy Spirit? Yes. Do we have, in spiritual warfare, do we have the Holy Spirit? I see a question here that's the answer is not clear. Liz, I have a question here that's the answer is not clear. Is not correct. I'm going to try and correct one of these questions. Question 7. You want to make a question 17. Make a note of that. Okay. It's good that we're going through this. Okay. Satan. Is Satan a created being? Yes. Okay. Okay. Where do we find him on earth first? In the Garden of Eden. Okay. What was his role? I mean, if you have cherubim, seraphim, guardian angels, this and this, what was Satan?
Cherub.
Very good. Okay. Did God make him good or did he make him evil? Made him good. Okay. So he was not, so God has never created anything evil. Okay. Well then, how did he fall? What was the thing that brought him down? Okay, from?
Pride.
And, well, how did he get pride? What gave him the opportunity? What did God put into Satan and the other angels and the demons also, like he gave man? What feature did he give him that allowed him to do that?
Free will.
Exactly. Okay. Okay. There are a whole bunch of names of Satan. Okay. His name is, you can talk about him as Satan. Okay. The adversary. You can call him the devil, the taken stander, or the person. He is also, among other things, the prince of the powers of the air, the prince of this world, the god of this world. Beelzebul, Baal, prince of the flies, and a bunch of other names. He's also called the light bearer. What name is that?
Lucifer.
Excellent. Okay, next page. Okay, so what did Satan, in his pride, he said, I will be like the Most High God. So what kind of things has he done to make himself like the Most High God? Okay.
Makes himself worshipped.
Okay, is Satan worshipped? Okay, how do they do that? Does he have his own church?
He does.
Well, God's got preachers. Does Satan have preachers? Okay, God is three in one. What about Satan?
He tries.
Mm-hmm. God's got angels.
Yes,
Stephen. Hmm. So then, what does he do? What does he do to
manipulate
believers? Let me ask you this: can he afflict the believer physically?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. What about working in terms of his head? What does it? Why do we pray that God, the God of this world, who blinds the eyes of the lost, okay, is bound, okay? Can he stop the prayer of believers? Interesting question. Not to my knowledge, okay. Can he deny the word of God? However, can he steal the word of God away from believers?
Yes.
Yes. Ooh. Okay. Now, when we're real spiritual, like missionaries are, of course, spiritual, can we still be deceived by the devil?
Oh, yes.
Hmm. Now, I mean, if you're really strong, if you're really strong like Paul, that means the devil never can do anything against you, right? The angel of Satan struck me. Okay. Well, how about Peter? Now, there's a strong guy. You ever do anything to Peter? Okay. How about David? Well, certainly the devil wouldn't be bold enough to test the Lord God, the Lord Jesus, would he?
He did.
Unbelievable. I mean, in fact, would you believe that he would dare to go into the sacred first Lord's Supper? I mean, with Jesus sitting right there?
Yeah.
He's got a lot of brash, doesn't he? Okay. Okay. Then he gets weaker guys too, you know. Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart? Okay. So what does he work by? What's his primary things? Lies, okay. What else? He is the liar and the accuser of the brethren, or the slanderer. Now, Muhammad, the great prophet of Islam, says war is deceit. Allah, the God of Islam, is the greatest of all plotters, which means also deceivers. Would Satan do anything like that? Now, we've talked about ways that Satan can work to borrow his way and put his foot in the door, so to speak. Okay. Would he be wanting us to walk in the flesh or in the spirit? Would it be possible that Satan might, when he could not get us to do frankly bad things, distract us to getting involved in secondary goals, or even focusing on him more than the power of God, or would he ever invade the church and try and disrupt relationships, like bitterness and resentment, or jealousy, or envy, or blah, blah, blah. Okay. Evil spirits. They're just a fake, right? They tell me they're the spirits of the person who died, and I've come back as his spirit. True? God created evil spirits to test us and tempt us. Satan joined the angels, they joined up with Satan in rebelling against God. Okay. Oops. Okay. Okay. What can evil spirits do? Is it possible for you to see an evil spirit? Normally? No. Abnormally? Yes. Okay. Is it possible for evil spirits to walk and talk and do things? They are innumerable, but are they unnamed, or do they normally have some sort of name? Name is legion, because
there are many.
Okay. Evil spirits, dumb or smart? Smart. Powerful? Do evil spirits ever deceive us by showing themselves as other than ugly? I mean, don't you always see ugly things that stink? No. Okay. If you command an evil spirit in the name of the Lord Jesus to tell you the truth, that means they will never lie. Forget that story. Okay? What about people who have families who have made agreements with evil spirits? You know, like signing your finger in blood or so forth. Can that have influence on you? Can you break that? Also true. Okay. Satan, is he a good administrator? Does he organize things well?
Yep.
Couple other questions. Demons, when they come and when they were confronted by Jesus, did they recognize who he was? Is it possible for demons to recognize the authority not only of Jesus, but those in whom Jesus dwells? Okay. Now in 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 and 16, it talks about some things that the devil can do, and there are three of them. The lust of?
Lust.
Okay, very good. Okay, is it possible for the temptation of Satan not to be necessarily wrong in the sense that it is absolutely immoral, but would he tempt us to do things against the will of God in our own strength?
Yes.
Like make, I mean, there were a lot of stones that could have been made in bread, and I don't think it would really, that have lacked stone if Jesus had done that, you know, but God, he came. Okay. Okay. Let's talk about Adam for a little bit. When God first made Adam, did he made him three-part, right? At least I take it three-part. What?
Spiritual body.
Soul, spirit, body, okay? Now, which of those three, the needs of Adam, did God meet, if any?
All
of them. Okay. Now, when Satan tricked him, there were some changes. In which of the three parts, or more than three, were there changes?
All three.
Okay. You're going to die. You're going to have feelings you never had before. Fear. You know, hiding from God. I mean, how stupid can you be? I mean, where God is everywhere, I mean, where are you going to go? It's tough. Okay? Now, let me ask you, okay, Jesus came as the second Adam, who is God also. Now, did Jesus then come to make, to restore the things that Adam, that Satan had destroyed? Are you following what I'm saying? What areas would he have done? Body or soul or spirit or all of them or what?
All.
Okay. Okay. Okay, primary needs. Which of these following would you think Jesus actually met? Did he meet our need for acceptance?
Yes.
Significance?
Yes.
Our need of rejection?
Good.
Our need of rejection?
No. I said no.
Our need of fear?
Yes.
Okay, a need of security?
Yes.
Okay. Not that meant to be a trick question.
No,
okay.
No.
Okay. Okay. Some questions. When you're looking at the secular worldview and the God of this world, it's built on me first, correct? Okay. Well, then what does that mean? Is it true that the true biblical Christian point of view is to have self-acceptance as your basic problem?
Can you rephrase that?
The real thing you have to do in a Christian worldview, and maybe that's not such a good question also, I'm going to flag that. Okay. The problem is, I think that secular psychiatrists say you need to accept yourself. Well, what is the basis of our self-acceptance? It's really not self-acceptance. It's accepting the fact that Jesus has accepted us and, our worth comes from his being to die on our cross. So the center of the Christian worldview is really the cross. Okay. Is it possible that Satan would want us to promote self-interest?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Now, is it possible to have victory over the sins of the over the flesh?
Yes.
OK. Okay, in Christ, right? Romans chapter 6. Okay, what do we have to do? Reckon yourself dead unto sin. Recognize what's happened to our old nature. I am crucified with Christ. Recognize, what am I supposed to do then? Then I am supposed to reject the world and yield my members to God and not allow sin to dominate my life anymore. Now, when I'm truly free, that means I can run my life for myself and do what I want. Nope. Mm-mm. Okay. What about, do I have true spiritual freedom when I'm willing to give worldly treasures for heavenly fear? And take up my cross and stay in my position in Christ? Is it more important to use people and love things or love people and use things? That should be a fairly straightforward question. Okay. Is it more important to sacrifice the eternal to gain temporal or to sacrifice worldly treasures to gain heavenly? These are very different, difficult questions. Okay. To be free in Christ. Okay. It talks about crucifying the flesh, but it also talks about doing something in the mind. What are we to do in the mind? We are to do 2 Corinthians 10, 3, 4, 5. We are to take every thought captive in Christ, okay? So to be free in Christ, I have to throw away the things that Satan is constantly feeding me. If I'm a Christian, is it possible for a Christian to walk in the flesh?
Yes.
Is it possible for the Christian to walk in the Spirit? Okay. Is it possible for us to be deceived by, can we be deceived by the Word of God itself?
No.
Okay. But what about, can we be self-deceived?
Yes.
Can we be deceived by false teachers?
Yes.
Can we be deceived by Satan?
Yes.
His denizens, okay? Can we be deceived by God the Father?
No.
No. God the Son? No. Okay. Who gives us every good gift that cometh from above. And, you know, if we fall into sin, we deceive ourselves. Okay? A few ways that we can deceive ourselves, okay? Can we deceive ourselves by thinking that we can do what we want, and we'll never reap the consequences. Okay? What about thinking we're religious and we're good and it's okay that we cut down other people? Is that a deception? We deceive ourselves and we're so spiritual that we can have all kinds of friends. Deception? Okay. Sign of two prophets. Okay. True prophets. Usually popular or often unpopular?
Popular.
Most of the prophets normally do signs and wonders to open your eyes, or most of them don't usually do signs and wonders. That's about. Some can, but not always. They don't always. Do true prophets preach righteousness? That's why they're not always popular. False teachers. Okay? Or sometimes people that are not totally false teachers but have fallen. Three main things that bring down preachers, and you see them particularly well shown in the famous TV and evangelists and so forth. I call them the three M's, okay? M number one, maids. women. Number two, money. Number three, they took modernism, but that would be false teaching. Joel Osteen's type of health and wealth and that sort of stuff, okay? Did anyone ever hold the threefold role of prophets, priests, and kings without a problem?
Christ.
Okay, Christ will, and is, I guess you'd say he is. He's coming back as king. He's been prophet and priest, okay? Everybody else get in trouble? The closest, I believe, was probably Samuel, in the sense that he was a priest, and he was a judge, which is kind of like a king, and he was a prophet, but he was not a king, and he still had problems, especially with his boys. Is it possible for Satan to be so clever that he deceives one, so that you think you're serving God when you're really serving him? For example, Saul of Tarsus. Peter, don't go to the cross. Far be it from you. Okay. There's a question of transfer of occult power. Okay. Now, it doesn't have to happen that way, but is one way of transferring adult power possible from family involvement? Very, very much. In fact, the guy who was the pastor of our church who replaced me, his father was pushing him to do just that and was very upset when he failed to follow him. He said, I can teach you all sorts of things. What about personal dabbling in the occult? Can that create problems?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I just read about someone not long ago where the pastor had, a lady had come to the pastor and said, I'm having problems with demonic oppression. And so the pastor talked to her. She said, where did it come from? He said, well, I have some demonic games that I'm playing and I can't give them up. He said, you got to give them up, and you need to come to church. Well, she apparently stopped and came to church, but fell on the ground before they came to church. Now, what I found is unfortunate is the pastor called 911 and carried them off to the carried them off to the local hospital. I don't know long-term what happened, but that is demonic, and that should be opposed by direct confrontation of the demons with prayer and so forth. What we would have done is moved the person over to a location and prayed for them. When you battle Satan, is it helpful to know that ultimately you are operating from a position of victory? Okay, how did the Lord secure our victory?
Death.
Hmm?
Jesus.
Okay, on the cross in particular. Okay, what has God done for the position of the believer? Positionally, spiritually, where are we?
In Christ.
We are in Christ, and where does that place us in the heavenly places?
Seated
with him. Therefore, authority is derived authority, but it is authority. And we need to remember that. Okay. How about some ways that we can open ourselves to demons?
Walk away from the Lord.
Okay. Okay. What are some definite things we can do? What about dabbling in witchcraft?
Yeah.
Okay. What about family? Okay. What about emotions? Which ones?
Depression.
I wouldn't put that as number one. I'd put a couple other things ahead of that. That could be. What makes us defile many?
Pride.
Lest not a root of
bitterness.
Bitterness, okay? Bitterness can defile many. Okay, let not the sun go down on your blank anger, lest the devil get a foothold. Okay? What did Balaam suggest to Balak to take the Israelites down? He suggested two things. And Baal Peor. Okay, what did he want? He said, send your most attractive young ladies, get those Israelite boys over, and get them involved in immorality and idolatry. Those two things go together. And both of those open the door wide open. Some of those things that could happen before, for example, might even be, I could picture a situation where one might open the door to demonic, even through, let's say, internet pornography. Something to think about. When we have gotten involved in these things, is it possible to get free?
Yes.
What do we have to do? Okay, you have to humble yourself, you have to repent, turn away from them, and confess, okay? Is it possible that we are involved in a family in which we have never done anything, but the family has? Can we get free to that, number one?
Yes.
Yes. Do we need to confess that?
Yes.
Yes, okay. Or a blood oath or any of that sort of thing. Okay, how many generations does that go, by the way? To the blank or blank, third or fourth generation. So it can go back to your grandparents and great-grandparents. Most people know their grandparents, but a lot of people don't know their great-grandparents. Okay? Okay, is it possible when a person is unconscious from demonic compassion to bring them out of that?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, we use a team. We pray, we sing cyclical songs, and we use the Word of God. We also use prayer that God and the demons and so forth will be bound. What about what about getting rid of stuff if you've been involved in masonry or Ouija boards or Dungeon and Dragons? I don't think anyone involved that anymore. They have new stuff, I'm sure. I'm not up to date. Okay.
D&D stuff is books.
What about the situation with bitterness? Does bitterness affect the person who is bitter?
Yeah.
Does it necessarily affect the person against whom you are bitter?
Yes.
Not always. Okay. Can bitterness spread, obviously?
Yes.
Okay. Can immorality open doors to evil spirits?
Yes. Oh, yes.
What about pornography?
Oh, yes.
Even though you're not physically involved?
Yes.
Jesus said something about that, didn't he? Okay. Follow-up includes, okay, what should we do in terms of helping people in these situations?
Great.
Okay.
Scripture.
Does having Bible study help?
Yes.
Prayer?
Yes.
Church?
Yes.
Staying away from former associates?
Yeah.
And so forth. Okay, as a Christian, I am supposed to do certain things about this. I'm supposed to wear what?
The armor of God.
You can also say put on Christ and be, you know. Okay, what am I supposed to do with the devil? Okay. Actually wearing the gospel armor, putting on Christ, probably talking about basically the same sort of thing. Yield to God, yield to the devil, what? Yield to God, okay. Okay. If someone has a demonic powers, they can foresee things or maybe heal, okay, and they are freed from the demons. What about the possibility of doing that type of stuff anymore? After you've been freed from demons and you're no longer having demons, like the girl who Paul cast out the demon spirit, who had a pythonic spirit, could she forecast more under demons? No. She was free. Okay? People who have been healed demonically, often they will lose, the healing may actually be lost if it's been a demonic healing. So there's a price to be paid about that. Does one always have an instant and permanent cure from demon oppression? No. Okay. And it doesn't mean that they have been cast out. Well, we've come to the end of our time. And so what I'm going to do is I will post this.